Well, well, well. Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. It's Amam. And we have a beautiful sunny day to honor this event. So first of all, I'd like to welcome everyone here today, and I'd like to say special welcome to any visitors that we have. Be sure that you stop and introduce yourselves to our visitors and make them all feel comfortable. And thank you all for joining us today. Just a couple of quick announcements. Next Sunday, if you'd like to hear about our most recent Guatemalan mission trip, it'll be done at the second hour, May 20th. So please come and join us for that and share in what we've learned and saw while we were in Guatemala. Marty Oman has an announcement.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Next Saturday, May 19th, we will be having our spring cleanup here at GPC. Activity usually starts around 8 o'clock, and we're usually done before noon, so please stop by for an hour or two or the whole morning if you're able. We have cleanup activities for people of all ages, but better yet, we have coffee, juice, and donuts for people of all ages, so please join us. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any announcements today? Tess?
Good morning, Tess McKeel, and I think you're probably all thinking it's crazy, but I'm up here to talk about Church Mouse Bazaar next November. Next week, the crafter applications will be out for church members. So they will be out in the narthex. Church members get the applications about 2 weeks prior to general public so that we give you guys a chance to get your applications in first. So if you are thinking about crafting at the Church Mouse next week, grab your applications and get them in to me. My contact's in the bulletin. If you need to get in touch with me with any questions, feel free.
Thanks. Any other announcements? Okay, well, today gives me a great honor to introduce you to Reverend David Kilgore. And David is a retired Presbyterian minister and a member of our neighboring presbytery, the Presbytery of Geneva. And after David retired as pastor of the United Presbyterian Church in Hornell, he and his wife moved to Avon, New York. When he's not doing church work, David is a member of the Avon Rotary Club. He serves on the board of directors of Teresa House, which is a comfort care home in Geneseo. And he's a treasurer of the Rochester Dahlia Society. I did ask him, is there really such a thing as a Dahlia Society? And he assures me that there is. So David and Mary enjoy their gardening, and especially growing dahlias, I guess. And they love to spoil their grandchildren. David will be with us this whole summer while Melissa is out during the sabbatical renewal time. And he'll be our temporary supply pastor. So David, we welcome you to our church if you'd like to say a few words. Let's welcome David.
I hope you feel that way when we're all done at the end of the summer. It's good to be here and to worship with all of you, and I'm really looking forward to this summer, this time of renewal with our emphasis on hospitality in the church. And so that sounds like a great idea for Melissa's sabbatical and for our participation in that. As a time of renewal for all of us. I have already met a few of you and gotten to know you a little bit. And so, the rest of you, all you have to do is after church, all of you introduce yourselves to me, and then I'll know everybody. Honestly, after about five names, everything begins to turn to a blur. So, you need to keep doing that, introducing yourself Sunday after Sunday, and probably by the end of September, I'll catch on, you know? So let us begin our worship as we quiet our minds and center our hearts in the presence of God and attend to the prelude.
please stand if you're comfortable and able to do so and join me in the call to worship. God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. He is the head of the church, which is his body. Please join me in a prayer of confession. Almighty God, you raised up our Lord Jesus from death and established his rule over all peoples and nations. We confess that we have not bowed down before him or acknowledged his rule in our lives. We have gone along with the ways of the world and have been careless of our neighbors. Forgive us, O God, and free us from sin. Make us new people who live to praise you and to obey the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of the world and head of the church, his body. Take a moment and bring our prayers to silent confession. Hear the good news. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sin.
courage in the face of doubt. But no matter what your gifts may be, God wants you to share them graciously.
Giving gifts away makes them multiply, you know. Spread your gifts around and discover how they start to grow. Sharing gifts is fun. It's the way God's work is done. It's really no surprise. The joy will lift you to the skies. And folks will recognize the fingerprints of God.
Today is Mother's Day, when we remember those who gave us birth and we pray for our families. It's also on the church calendar, the last Sunday in that Easter season, and the time when we remember Jesus' ascension, when God lifted him up and brought him to up into heaven to sit at the right hand of God and to be the head of the church. So we've got two kinds of things going on this morning. We're going to remember Mother's Day in our time with the children and in our pastoral prayers. But in the scripture readings and in the sermon, we're going to be thinking about this celebration of Ascension Day. So if by the close of the service you're feeling a little bit schizophrenic, you've got a good reason to think. So we'll get started with the time for the children, and I would invite the kids to come up, and or come down in this case, and join me. Are there other young people? Where do you guys normally sit for the children's time? Okay, just plop down on the floor. Great. Okay. You don't know me, do you? Guess what? I don't know you either. So we're even, all right? At school, sometimes you might have your teacher who has to go to a meeting or maybe isn't feeling well, and they call in a substitute. Okay, well, that's a substitute teacher. I'm kind of like a substitute minister. I used to be the pastor of a church, and then I retired. But I spend many, many Sundays going from one church to another where they need a substitute, where the minister is on vacation, or maybe the church doesn't have a minister or something like that. So your pastor, Melissa, is on vacation, so here I am. And it's Mother's Day, so I thought we might talk about Jesus' mom. Does anybody remember the name of Jesus' mom? Okay, what was Jesus' mom's name? Mary, okay. Now, tell me this. Do you think Mary had an easy time or a hard time with her little boy, Jesus? Hard time? Okay, all right. Let's think about that. A hard time? Oh, my. Do you ever give your mom a hard time? Yeah, okay, all right, yes. Most of us were probably born in a hospital, right? Where was Jesus born? In a stable, okay. And what lives in a stable? Horses, what else? Donkeys, sheep, cows. cows, all that kind of stuff. Chickens, yeah, sometimes with chickens. So, I bet your mom never had to worry about this. When she changed your diaper, she didn't have to worry about whether she was going to step in donkey poop, did she? Well, guess what you find in the stable? No, donkey poop, okay. And so, she, and also, you remember that Christmas story? Jesus is born, and then all of a sudden, all these shepherds come crowding into the stable, and they're shouting and singing praise to God and this kind of stuff. And that must have been really, really unnerving for Mary and for Joseph. And then these strangers come in from some other country, and they bring these strange gifts to the baby and kneel down. And that must have been really weird for Mary to see that. But one story I'm remembering in especially took place about the time that Jesus was 12 years old. Anybody here 12? 12? Got one? Okay, who's 11? Okay, we've got some 11-year-olds. Who's 13? Anybody 13? Oh, you thought too late. Okay, all right. When Jesus was 12 years old, the family was living in Nazareth, and there was a big festival down in Jerusalem, which was a long way away. And so Joseph and Mary gathered up the family, and they went to Jerusalem. They didn't drive in a car. They walked, and it was a long walk. But lots of other people were going to this festival too. So there was a lot of people on the road as they walked to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was really, really crowded with all these people. And then they got ready to go home, and they started going home. All of a sudden, they realized somebody was missing. Jesus was not with them. He was in the temple. That's right. Well, they didn't know that. So they were really, really worried about Jesus. And they went back to Jerusalem, and they looked all over for him. And they finally found him in the temple. And they were so upset. They said, Jesus, why didn't you stay with us? Your mom ever lose you in a store? Yes, okay. You know, never happened, huh? It's scary for you usually, but it's also really scary for me. One time when my son was just a little boy, we were at a store. We were outside, and there were these big, big columns in front of the store. And we were putting some stuff in the car, and I turned around. He had been right beside me. And I turned around, and he was gone. And I was panicked. And it turns out that he was around the other side of the column. And every time I walked around that way, he went around that way. But I was scared, and I'll bet Mary and Joseph were scared too. And Jesus said something weird to them. They said, didn't you know where you to look for me? Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house? Well, after that, the Bible says that Jesus paid attention to Mary and Joseph, and he didn't wander off anymore. But I'll bet you Mary had a tough time with her son Jesus when he was born and when he was a little boy. So we're going to give thanks for the people in our family, and we're going to remember Mom, and we're going to pray that we don't give them too tough a time. Would that be good? Okay, let's pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for all the people in our family. We thank you for the good times we have, and we thank you for being with us in the tough times. We pray for moms, especially when their kids give them a hard time. And we ask that we might pay attention to our parents and not give them such a hard time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, thank you so much.
Our first reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Listen now for the word of God. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. And suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
How come we clap for the little kids and don't clap for the big kids? I don't understand that. Our second scripture reading comes to us from the letter to the Ephesians. This is part of the first chapter of Ephesians, which some people have described as the most abominable sentence in the English language. Ancient Greek had no punctuation marks, and this is the longest run-on sentence that anybody has ever experienced. The apostle Paul, was just so filled and thrilled to be talking to these people, writing to these people, and so wrapped up in his message that he just kept going and going and going. And so in our English Bibles, the translators try to break these up into little sentences and paragraphs because it's so convoluted and so wrapped up in joy and in praise. We're beginning to read with verse 15. He writes, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he seated him from the dead, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." The word of the Lord. So, how many of you folks were in church on Easter Sunday? Put your hands up. Okay, that's good. What was going on? I wasn't here, so you have to tell me, what was going on? What was special about Easter Sunday? Everybody was happy. Okay, really good. Were there flowers in church? Yep. Okay, good. We had that a little bit unusual there, flowers in church. Did the junior choir sing? No, they didn't sing. Well, I'm glad you sang this Sunday because that was great, guys. They sang Palm Sunday. Okay. Did the adult choir sing? Okay. All right. Do you remember the name of the anthem that you sung? No. That's okay. I don't think I remember the name of the sermon that I preached that Sunday. Did Roy play his trumpet? Yes. Okay. All right. That was fantastic, that opening hymn. You do that again, and I'm coming back, okay? So Easter was a really, really special day. And what was the atmosphere? You said everybody was happy. Okay. It was a joyful time. We remembered the story of Jesus' resurrection. We remembered how God triumphed over fear and sin and death to raise up Jesus. And we remember how the disciples were filled with peace when Jesus came back. Their anxious hearts were quieted and they were filled with peace when Jesus came back and appeared to them again. And so, in the period, the Sundays after Easter, the church continues to remember that, continues to remember the joy, the sense of triumph in God's power, and the sense of peace that that fills our hearts with the knowledge of Christ. Today is the conclusion of that Easter season, and we remember the last thing that kind of happened with Jesus and his disciples when God lifted him up back into heaven. The gospel writer Luke, in both the Gospel of Luke and in the Acts, which he also wrote, tells the story of Jesus' ascension. After Easter, Jesus continued to appear to his disciples. He continued to teach them, and they continued that sense of joy and that feeling of God's triumphant presence and that sense of peace that they had. But then it was time for Jesus to be lifted up back into heaven. And that's the story that we remember today. As our writer to the Ephesians says, God lifted him up to make him sit in the highest heavens at the right hand of God, and made him Lord of all and the head of the church, his body. Ascension Sunday is not just about Jesus, however. It's not just about Jesus going back to heaven. Ascension Sunday is also about us. It's about the church, which lives in strength, knowing that Christ is our head. And it's about all of us as we too are filled with that power of God to live our own lives. As God raised up Jesus, we too have our hearts lifted up to live faithful and joyful lives in Christ's presence. So the writer in this complicated sentence says that he is praying for these people, and that he wants them to remember the hope to which God has called them, to remember the glorious inheritance of all the saints, and to remember this power of God that raised up Jesus and lifted up Jesus into heaven to be the ruler of all. So today we want to talk about that hope, and that inheritance, and that power that is present in our lives. So let's talk about hope. What kinds of things do people hope for? What's that? Good health. A lot of people hope for health. That's true. The older you get, the more you hope for that. What other kinds of things do people hope for? Happiness. Okay, yeah, we hope for happiness. Sometimes we hope for things that hope I win the lottery, or somebody said they hoped that the Buffalo Bills would win the Super Bowl. I think that's not hope, that's wishful thinking. Our hopes have, they're different kinds of hopes, okay? Yeah, we hope for some silly things, and some things that we really have no control over. I hope tomorrow's a good day because I've got a lot of garden work to do. And yet, the day is going to go on, whether it's sunshiny or rain or whatever. And we have other kinds of hopes that are deeper, about our health, about our own spiritual state and our happiness. Sometimes we pray for our families and remember and remember them in prayer, and sometimes desperately hope for things to work out. Moms do that for their kids. And then there are other kinds of hopes. At Christmas time some years ago, Santa Claus came to our church, and the kids lined up to tell Santa Claus what they wanted for Christmas. Well, I wasn't going to miss out on that, so I got in line too, and I sat on Santa's knee, and Santa said, "Well, little boy, what do you want for Christmas?" And I said, "World peace and understanding." We have Christian hopes. We have hopes that are given to us by God that lead us into a different stance toward life. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's kind of our Christian hope in a nutshell. We hope for God's great day of peace. We hope for a day when the hungry will be fed. We hope for a day when justice will be the norm and rule the earth. We don't get these hopes from reading the newspapers or watching the news feed on our electronic devices. Those are hopes that come from God. Reading the newspapers fills us sometimes with a certain kind of hope, but so often we tend to think small. We get involved in petty grudges, or which politician said this and which politician said that, and our values are just small. The hopes that we get from God are those big hopes. And those are the hopes that really, really motivate us and cause us to move and act in the world. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "If you lose hope, you lose the vitality that keeps you going. You lose that courage to be, that ability to keep going no matter what." That's hope. And that's what God gives us. And that's what motivates us to move and act in the world that we live in. When we lived in Hornell for several years, there was an old lady who lived about two doors down from us. She was all alone. She had no family and no friends except her cat and her dog. Mary found her one evening sitting on her front porch, kind of dazed and confused. She had locked herself out of her house, out of her apartment. And over the years, my wife sort of became her caregiver. But this old lady was crazy, okay? She knew that she was going to win Publishers Clearing House. She didn't hope that someday she was going to win. She knew it. She knew that one day that van would pull up and those people with balloons would jump out and she would get that big cardboard check for $1 million. She knew it, and she knew what she was going to do with that $1 million. She was going to buy a little piece of land and put a modular home on it, and it would have a little backyard, and she would have a garden and a place for her dog to play. And she was going to have a truck. She was so convinced of that, that she lived as if that was really the way things were going to go for her. She had bought the drapes that were going to hang in her new house. she had bought a doghouse for the backyard for her dog. It was sitting in her living room. And underneath the doghouse were the floor mats for the truck that she was going to get. This lady was crazy. But even as I laughed at her, I thought, that's the way Christians ought to live, in the hope that God gives us. Not hoping that this will come true someday, but really living that hope, not just paying it lip service. God has given us these hopes, and they inform the way we live. We live now in absolute hope for these things. We live not just hoping that peace will come someday, but living as though everyone we meet is a brother or a sister in God's love. Not just hoping that there will be plenty for all someday, but actively sharing our bread with the hungry, with those in need. Living for justice in this world, not just hoping it's going to happen someday. We need to be as crazy as that old lady and living out that hope in the way we live each and every day. That's hope. That's the hope to which God has called. And part of that hope is, as Paul says, our glorious inheritance with all the saints. And he's talking about eternal life. He uses that phrase several times in his writings, this glorious inheritance that is ours. This is like hope. It is not just something that's out there in the future sometime. It is what we know and what we live with, that we have a place in God's home and in God's heart. He calls this an inheritance. And the way it works for Paul is that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is God's natural child, and the rest of us are like adopted children that have been gathered into God's arms through Jesus Christ. And so we have been brought into the family because of Christ. We have been brought into this wonderful, crazy family that we call the people of God. And we belong. We live rested in that knowledge that we have a home. We're part of this great family. And as children in this family, we also have an inheritance. Just as God lifted up Jesus, so will he lift us up to be in the presence of Christ when our life here on earth is done. There is in our living room a chair that is our son's favorite chair. I don't know why. It's an old chair. It's not the most comfortable thing, and the cat has kind of done some stuff over the back, but that's my son's favorite chair. And he has let it be known that when the old folks are gone, and when it's time for him and his sister to divide things up, he gets that chair. So one day when he was in college, he came home and he walked into the living room, pointed at that chair and said, "That's my chair." And I said, "Over my dead body it is." And he said, "That works for me." This illustration would be a whole lot better if his parents had, in love for him, noticed that he liked that chair and made provision for him to have it. But it works anyway, even though it's kind of a rough illustration. We have an inheritance. We belong in the family of God, and God will lift us up just like God lifted up Christ to live with him, to be with Christ in the heavens above. In the meantime, we live convinced of God's power to work in our lives, God's power to be with us as we continue to live by hope, as we continue to do the work that Christ called us to do. We know that God's power is with us, just like he raised Jesus from the dead, just like he lifted Christ up to be with him in the heavenly places, so does he continue to lift us up into hope. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the promises that you have given us, for the hope that is in us. May we live convinced of that hope. May we live brave and courageous lives, faithful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us sing together again using hymn number 260, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. remain standing as we say together what we believe using the affirmation of faith in our bulletin. We declare that Jesus is Lord. His resurrection is a decisive victory over the powers that deform and destroy human life.
His
But his lordship is real. It demands our loyalty and sets us free from the fear of all lesser lords who threaten us. Jesus is Lord. He will be Lord at the end. Amen. As we go into our time of prayer, are there joys or concerns that anyone would like to share with us?
Hello, this is Aileen Satinsky. I just want to say happy birthday to my sister, Evelyn Sclair. That was yesterday. And a very happy 89th birthday to my mother. That's today, in addition to Mother's Day. We're very happy that the family's together. Everybody's in from out of town, so it's pretty exciting. Thank you.
Okay. A birthday on Mother's Day, huh? Wow.
Bingo. I like to ask for prayers for my sister Debbie as she awaits results for biopsy.
I feel a little negligent in not introducing David's wife, Mary. I'm going to ask her to stand up so she can be recognized, and we can welcome her after the church service. Mary, there she is.
Other joys or concerns? Oh, we have one in the back.
Debbie DeCero. Last Sunday, I asked for prayers for my Aunt Margaret. Thanks for your prayers. The biopsy came back benign. Tomorrow, she goes to the doctor to find out what the next procedure is. But thank you for your prayers.
Janice Bilalovic. My granddaughter, Greg's youngest daughter, is graduating from high school in Illinois next weekend. And Tess and Alex and I will be traveling there to visit, be with them. And so I just ask for traveling mercies.
Irene Ward, and we have another birthday in the house, and that would be my husband's birthday today. So happy birthday to him, too.
Do you have a rebuttal to that?
No, it cannot be denied. And I was born on Mother's Day, too, so it's kind of cool to have it on Mother's
Day.
And my mother hasn't been right since, but I had nothing to do with that. There's another joy that I want to mention today. And yesterday, our pastor, Melissa DeRosa, graduated from Colgate-Rochester Divinity School with her doctorate. And it was a wonderful service, very joyous. We had a really great speaker there. It was really a moving event. So if you missed it, you missed a good one. But it was a very joyous occasion, and we all congratulate Melissa.
Okay. So Melissa has a doctorate, so now she gets a raise. Is that right? Stand up for a colleague. Any other joys or concerns? The young people listed some joys and concerns. Mother's Day obviously was mentioned. I presume that's a joy. Somebody said Mom went to Niagara Falls. And somebody else was concerned that their grandma didn't come to a Mother's Day tea. And I hope things are well with that grandma. And Grayson and Mom included Romeo in our Mother's Day picture. Somebody else gives joy for being in the junior choir. And somebody else is concerned because they don't get to see aunts and uncles often enough. Somebody else asks for prayers because they fight with their siblings. And somebody's going on a sleepover. So that's a joy. So let us gather up all those prayers, those joys, those concerns, and lift them up to God. God, you have called us into one great family of faith and called us to live together in care and in love. Hear the intercessions of your people as we pray for one another. We remember the joys of celebrating Mother's Day. We remember the joys of birthdays. We remember the good times of being able to gather with our family for special events. We pray for those who are ill, and especially we remember Debbie and Margaret. We give thanks for graduations and for being able to attend those special times. On this day, when we remember those in our families, we pray for the special gifts needed to make our homes what they ought to be. Pray for mothers that despite the strains of each day's work, they may continue to surround their families with love and grace and understanding. For fathers that with the example of Christ before them, they may willingly give of themselves their time and their enthusiasm for their family. For children, that they may be able to endure adult impatience and may learn kindness and consideration for others. For grandparents, that they may give that special measure of love to grandchildren and so bind the generations together. We pray also for families where there are no children, that husbands and wives may find a special joy in each other and be given special opportunities for service to others. Pray for single parents who must minister to their children's needs in a special way. May they be given an extra measure of your strength, your patience, and understanding. We pray for children in foster homes, in special schools. We pray for parents who have lost a child. We pray for those who live alone, who do not have a family. Fill them all with the special knowledge of your love and help us to be sensitive to their needs as well. We pray for the great family that is the Church of Jesus Christ, united in faith and love throughout the world. We pray for this congregation and ask that you empower its mission. Together may we tell the story of your love and labor faithfully in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray in his name and we close with the prayer he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who lead us into temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
loving and just God. We often refer to you as our Father, but you are also our Mother. For you are the one who gave birth to our universe, our Mother Earth, and all the beautiful creations on our planet, both large and small. And like a good mother, you give us your unconditional love, forgive us when we mess up, and support us when we need to lean on you. We bring these gifts to you on this Mother's Day and seek for your guidance to use them so that no child will go to bed hungry, that our swords will be beaten into plowshares, and that those who are sick or afraid can be comforted, and that your peace will be found throughout all lands. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Go out into the world in peace. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.